Once upon a time I was trigger shot and so demure, but I went back to school and I'm nobody's fool no more. My daddy left home when I was 10 years old and that sucked, but I'm no longer stuck, cause things are looking up.
I'm happy to welcome into the KETR studios today a singer-songwriter whose debut record shows off his lifelong love for the kind of country rock sounds. His record, Undiscovered Country, chock full of rollicking and rowdy tunes that kind of harken back to the 70s music scene that influenced him growing up. And his sound really sets him apart from a lot of what I would describe as kind of the pop country material that's coming out in droves that I've got to sift through here as a DJ, getting a lot of stacks of records in and whatnot. I'm lucky enough to have with me in studio right now Mr. Jeff Warren Johnston. Welcome, man.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you in. And you've also got with you a member of the band, and he's featured on the CD as well, a backup vocalist, and from what I'm told, quite a harmonica player, Mr. Ben Balmer. I appreciate both of you being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Unlike many folks, Jeff, in your fair city, you are actually a native of Austin.
That's correct.
Most people are just kind of getting there as quick as they can, but how are you coping with the kind of changes that have come with Austin's worldwide mystique and draw as someone who's been there all your life?
Well, it's been quite an experience. You know, when I was a kid, of course, nobody outside of Austin had really heard of Austin, including other Texans.
Right.
You know, we briefly lived in Houston when I was a very small child, like in kindergarten. And when I told my teacher, yeah, we're moving back to Austin, that's where I'm from. And she goes, honey, I think you mean Boston. It's pronounced Boston. And I said, no, it's Austin. It's the capital of Texas. My kindergarten teacher, if you will, looks at me, says, honey, the capital is Dallas.
No, no.
Oh, no.
This is back in the 80s before the internet or, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, you couldn't look it up, right?
That's not that much better, though.
No. Obviously, the secret's out. Austin's awesome, and everybody knows it now, and everybody wants to live there now. And I get it, you know, because I've tried to move away several times to do something different, and I always end up longing for home. I always end up back there, and it's always going to be my home base.
Absolutely. Well, I know that, you know, I've definitely heard it from other Austin natives, you know. Honestly, I've heard different takes on this. Some people come in and they're you know, a little bit disgruntled about the whole thing. They're like, I wish everybody would just go home. It's
so I already went through that in the late 90s.
Okay.
And I had to come to terms with it. You know, I left and, you know, did some things in San Bernardino, California for a while, and Richmond, Virginia for a while. And then I realized just how special Austin really is. It's like there's so much there that you just can't really get anywhere else. And that's despite it all, you know, you just got to learn to share it with people and get over it. It's a great town, and every place has its drawbacks.
Of course. I mean, it's just like with actors, you know, who are going to the acting hub places. Certainly. I mean, it gets oversaturated, but it's still, you wouldn't have it any other way, though, because you're not going to be able to make it, you know, as easily as a musician in a place that's not a music central place. You know, Dallas, Houston, a little tougher for folks, I would say.
I try hard to forgive everything because it's my home, you know, it's
my
hometown. All my friends I grew up with are there. It's like, I'm not going to abandon the place just because it's popular.
Sure. Well, good for you, man. So Ben Balmer's also with us. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, man?
Originally, I'm from the Detroit area, Michigan, Ypsilanti, Michigan. And I moved down to Austin about 11 years ago to play music. And I've been playing down there ever since. And
the aforementioned draw to Texas, huh?
Yeah, you know, well, and as you know, I'm a singer songwriter as well and stuff. And the Detroit area, especially at that time, was you know, you get some great hip hop and R&B and metal even and stuff, but the kind of singer songwriter storytelling kind of stuff didn't fly as well over there. So
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So you've found a happy home here then, I hope?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice that, you know, during the winter and stuff especially.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I assume you're finding a way to cope with our heat down here then.
You know, I'll take 105 over 20 below any day of the week.
It's all a matter of perspective because as a Texas native myself, I'm like, you can only take off so many clothes before the cops come after you, but you can always put on more clothes. So, see, I might be able to handle it the other way.
Everybody forgets about how much snow you have to shovel, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah, like, it's not just the cold. You got to do stuff, too.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, that's Ben Balmer and Jeff Warren Johnston both with me in studio right now. So, Jeff, what kind of music influenced you growing up in Austin?
Oh, man, so much. You know, my earliest memories are, you know, of the 80s hits my sisters were listening to and passing down. You know, I heard a lot of Hall & Oates. One of my earliest memories was Hall & Oates, like, and fascinated me. That song, that walk around.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I would sing that for guests that came to the house. And, you know, Willie Nelson. I thought, I kind of had Willie Nelson confused with Santa Claus when I was a kid.
Understandable.
I kind of thought he was like a Santa Claus kind of figure.
Both magical and people.
It took me like till I was an adult to really like get into his music. But I always just loved Willie the same way I love Santa Claus. You know what I mean? Growing up as a child. So he always influenced me, of course.
And I've never seen him in the same place at once, so I cannot
true.
Say for
That's
sure.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
My grandmother was a huge fan. In fact, she even told me one time when I said, I want to be a musician. She goes, honey, unless you're like someone like Willie Nelson, you know, it's just, you're not going to get anywhere.
Wow.
That stuck with me.
So encouraging.
And Elvis, of course, Elvis, I got into him early. And the Monkees was really like the first band I really latched on to, you know, from television when they sort of started playing their show again on MTV. And I started recording every episode. And that's when I really found out I loved rock and roll.
Nice.
And and Jerry Lee Lewis, the Great Balls of Fire movie hit me. And so rock and roll, really. The La Bamba movie, Ritchie Valens.
Oh, yeah.
I just took a liking to all of that, and I just soaked it all up, and here I am.
You know? Nice, man. So
these days, I have to give a shout-out to my friend Ben Ballmer, who's an influence on me to keep trying to write really good songs. He's one of the best writers I've ever had the pleasure to meet, work with, or listen to. So please check out Ben Ballmer, too, if you get a chance. He's a great songwriter, one of my absolute favorites.
Okay, awesome, man. Well, I definitely want to, you know... pick your brain a little bit, Ben, and find out more about what you're doing. I was just going to ask you, Jeff, though, are you the kind of sole family member with the music bug? I get the impression from what you were saying about a family member saying, oh, you got to be huge like Willie.
Well, my parents are not very musical, and they weren't very supportive, actually, of the whole idea of me going into music. My mom likes music more than my dad ever did, really. But she really gets into that smooth jazz, you know, the kind of stuff that makes me feel a little nauseated. I love some jazz, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I love the old Miles and Coltrane and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm not going to name names, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It comes to the smooth mom jazz, I like to call it.
It ain't the bird.
It starts with a K and ends with a G. So.
I think they were always afraid that rock and roll would just lead me into the gutter, you know, and drug addiction and, just, you know, and that's... They never really encouraged it. My older sister, however, she had a guitar, and she would write songs and sing, and I would be interested, and she would encourage me to be interested, and I kind of looked up to her for that at first. She's a good writer, too. She's not really doing it so much now. She was a big influence.
I'll be blazing through hell at the crack of the bell, and every 8 seconds take 10. It's the glistening glamour, crash of the hammer that makes my heart clamor again.
Like I said, Ben Ballmer's a part of your band as a vocalist and harmonica player, but are you doing some solo stuff as well? Or
Yeah, I have a band that I play with out of Austin and stuff, and we're on the road quite a bit and travel a lot, and I do that in addition to sidemanning with some folks, although I think really the only person I'm sidemanning right now with is Jeff. So having a great time. I really like the tunes that he's been coming out with and stuff for this record. I was very excited to hear that he was coming out with this record because he's been working on it for a long, long time.
Now, so are you just recording as Ben Ballmer, by the way? Or
yep, just okay. Under Ben Ballmer. I have two records out.
So Jeff, after kind of learning about how you grew up influenced by music and whatnot, when did you kind of start making music of your own?
Huh, that's always a tough question to answer because, you know, I loved to sing when I was just a little kid, and I would beg my parents for an instrument of some kind, and they would always resist. And, you know, like for Christmas, I got this cheap little Casio keyboard thing.
Right.
And it kind of shut me up for a while, and I taught myself some basic stuff like Heart and Soul by ear. My dad was flabbergasted. Who taught you that? Don't lie to me. What do you mean you figured that out yourself? I was like, Dad, I love doing this. You know, like, can I have lessons? And he's like, no. just flat no. And, you know, Mom, can I have lessons? Talk to your father.
Oh, man.
That kind of thing. And, you know, they brought me some, like, toy guitar from Mexico that wouldn't even stay in tune.
Right.
You know, the strings would barely even stay on. And then the same exact thing. I picked out a melody I heard on the radio. My dad says, who taught you that? Where did you learn that? Who don't lie to me. It's like, I figured it out myself, you know? It's like, I want to be in music.
And also, like, what would you say if it was like, oh, yeah, this guy down the street taught me this guitar riff.
The old jazz man down there on the corner, you know?
In that music class, you know, even my music teacher was like, Jeff really is, you know, showing promise and, you know, we should encourage him to play music. And they wouldn't, you know, they didn't want to listen to him either. And, you know, finally, when I was 15, they'd had enough. And I was getting more rebellious and more outspoken. And, like, I started, you know, playing hardball. And they finally, you know, at this point, they were separated. They were divorced. And, you know, I think that might have even helped a little bit because it was like, well, Dad's going to help me get a guitar. And so Mom was like, well, okay, fine. I'll help. If he pays for half, I'll pay for half, I guess. Because, you know, they don't want one to become the favorite.
Exactly.
Oh, you got me a guitar and you didn't, you know.
Yes.
So I kind of leveraged that a little bit. I feel a little guilty about it. But then again, I don't because.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, this
sounded like they owed you.
I finally got one at 15 and I started writing songs and I've never looked back.
Good man, that was honestly that was a dramatic story of how of how this happened for you. Very cool, man. That's Jeff Warren Johnston. He's my guest on KETR. Not to be confused with another similar name in music. I think there's a Jeff Johnston, right? Mm-hmm. I know you updated your name at a certain point that you used to record as Jeff Johnston, but you kind of wanted to differentiate yourself from the other guy and to sort of launch this different sound that you were working on for Undiscovered Country. Is that true?
Absolutely correct. I got tired of getting phone calls. Is this Jeff Johnston? Yes. Can you play Saxon Pub on Thursday? Yes. Of course I can.
Oh, no.
I show up. Who are you? I'm Jeff Johnston.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're another Jeff Johnston. Yeah. Well, okay, I guess you have to play. And then I played, and everything went fine. People in the audience were like, I thought you were the other Jeff Johnston, but I liked it. Thank you. I had a good time anyway. Okay, great. And then I ran into Jeff Johnston. I told him that story, and he said, you know what? The same thing happened to me. I said, I think you're probably lying, but I appreciate you,
right?
You know, trying to comfort me and make me feel better. And then, you know, Jeff Warren Johnston distinguishes me from him, and it also just works better for country, I think.
Yeah,
because you know it's the three name thing. You're either a serial killer or a country musician.
Exactly. And, I didn't want to be the one to say it.
But you would be the fourth one to say it if you had.
Yeah. Jeff Johnston lucked out too.
Right. Fantastic. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you went with that because I just think, there's something about Jeff Warren Johnston that really kind of stands out. And before you even hear your music, I think people, like you're saying, have a connotation that, well, what's Jeff Warren Johnston going to sound like? Well, honestly, for me, it was kind of exactly what I envisioned. You know what I mean? I knew that it was going to be on the twangy side, you know? So it works, man. It's
cool.
I think you made a good choice there. The songs on Undiscovered Country were kind of born over multiple years. I think Ben was kind of alluding to this.
Yeah, and you know, if I had lower standards or if I was just a little bit less wound up, the album probably would have come out, you know, 9 years ago, shortly after I wrote the songs. But I have to have everything a particular way. Everything has to be recorded just like I hear it. And I needed all the professional people I wanted involved. And it cost a lot of money and it just took a long time. And thank God I met the right producer, Rich Brotherton, who was able to, you know, make it all happen for me. Because without him, I wouldn't have this album. I tried to record it before I met him.
Really?
And I don't want anyone to hear that, you know. Not that it's terrible. And, you know, I was working with someone less experienced than Rich. And I kind of got my way more than I probably should have because I didn't know that much. And Rich taught me so much about the recording process and what makes a good record.
And he works with Robert Orkeen, right? Is that the guy?
He was Robert's lead guitarist for about 25 years. He produced two of Robert's albums, I think, or more. And yeah, he's got a reputation locally as a fantastic producer, you know. And he works all from his house, which is amazing. And one of the coolest things about working with him was if I thought of somebody I've always wanted to work with, you know, how about Lloyd Maines, you know? I always wanted to work with Lloyd Maines. Well, let's call him. Let's see what he says.
Okay.
And Lloyd Maines said, yes. You know, probably because it's a call from Rich Brotherton.
Yes.
And, you know, it has its advantages. And so I got everyone I asked for pretty much on the album.
Who else is on the recording that you wanted to call out?
There's a guy, Riley Osborne, who maybe many people don't know his name anymore, but back in the 70s, he played with a hero of mine, B.W. Stevenson.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And he's just a fantastic organ player. He's not playing as much now, but, you know, it's like the guys I grew up listening to and admiring, suddenly I can have them on my independent record. It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to have Augie Myers from Doug Somm, you know.
Sure.
Sir Douglas Quintet. But something happened and it got delayed a long time and it got to the point where I was ready for his part. We had to wrap up soon. And okay. So we went with a local guy who's also fantastic. That's my only real regret is I didn't actually get Augie because he agreed to do it, but we would have had to go to San Antonio and it just didn't work out.
Gotcha. You know,
logistically, we got Red Volkart, who played with Merle Haggard for years.
Right.
He's an amazing country guitar guy. And I don't play any lead on the record. I play all the lead live now. But I felt like I should step aside and let the pros do their thing, on at least my debut.
Yeah.
Because I want the songs to really shine, you know, at least on my first outing.
Well, they definitely do, man, I have to say. And we've been doing all this talk about your music. I'll tell you what, why don't we spin one of the tunes from the record here so that people can get an idea of what we're talking about.
Sure.
I wanted to listen to this tune. That Woman, which is kind of the single that's hitting radio right now. Pretty self-explanatory, but anything you want to tell me about this before we hear That Woman?
You know, there's a little bit of truth. It's mostly written for entertainment purposes, but it was born out of a dream I had about Bob Wills singing this, That Woman, That Woman. And I had to wake up and double-check that it wasn't actually a Bob Wills song.
Really?
It's not, you know. So that's great. And then the rest of the lyrics just came pouring out of me because I just broke up with someone who I suspected was cheating with their ex.
Okay.
And I had sort of a revenge fantasy of, well, you know, I stole her first. So you might have stole her from me now, but I stole her first, okay. And I'll probably steal her back. You know,
nice.
And not that I really am interested in that, but I thought it made great material for an entertaining song anyway.
The subject matter really kind of fits in with the way I described it earlier, the kind of rollicking, rowdy sound on this. I think the country music fans are going to appreciate this, and I just like the way it kind of harkens back to that old style.
That woman, she knows my heart. That woman, she plays the part. That woman made a fool out of you and me. You think you're special 'cause you played your first, but all your money couldn't quench her thirst. She needs good loving just like any other of them do. I got a number by second sight, and I went home with her the very same night. You couldn't hold her, so I stole her right away from you. She's a real-life wise bitch fighter if you stand in her way.
Stand in her way.
If you try to get closer, don't you know her boss will push you away.
Push you away.
Your solution is to buy or get higher at the price of your pride.
Price of your pride.
But I'm a sharp-tongued deflector, I just verbally correct her, 'cause I'd rather be a spanker than a banker. She knows my heart. That woman, she plays the part. That woman made a fool out of you and me.
That Woman. That's Jeff Warren Johnston from his record Undiscovered Country. If you like the sound of that tune, then there are a lot of other gems on this album that you can discover. I happen to have Jeff Warren Johnston, the guy you just heard singing, in studio with me right now. And you heard some fine work on harmonica there as well. Ben Balmer is the harmonica player for Jeff Warren Johnston, among other things. But he's also in studio with me. Gentlemen, hope you're enjoying your time here with me today.
Hey, yeah.
Awesome. I appreciate having you in studio. You know, you described that song before we played it, but you've got a lot of songs on the record, Jeff, that kind of sound like they're from your perspective, but you're a writer that really likes to kind of put yourself in other people's shoes in songwriting. Oh, yeah. True?
I get so tired of thinking about me, you know, and there's, you know, not that I can't get interesting songs out of that, and so you got to put some personal emotion into everything to make it meaningful. You got to sort of draw from what you know. But I approach songwriting like I'm telling a story, and stories have to have characters, and they're not necessarily, the protagonist isn't going to represent who I am every time.
Sure.
And, you know, it's funny because I run into things a lot sometimes where people assume that if I say I or me in a song, I'm actually talking about myself.
Right.
It's like, no, please don't make that mistake with me. You know, I sing about a lot of things that may be deemed inappropriate, even that I would never dream of doing. And
I'd be in jail.
It's like, you know, these are stories. This isn't necessarily real life. Of course, I draw from real life experience and emotions, but, you know, I'm a writer. This is, you know, this is entertainment.
Some people have a hard time drawing that line. Actors have the same problem too. Somebody plays a bad guy, and everybody's like, "I hate you. You were such a horrible, antagonist in that movie." So there's a difficulty for people to draw that line between performance artists like yourself or actors and what they do. It's not always autobiographical. So. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind when you listen to songs like You and Your Sister Too. you probably knew I was going to reference that. Yeah, that's a really fun song.
that's, you know, it's obviously, to me, it's obviously supposed to be in good fun.
Right.
It's joking around. I don't really want to marry a pair of sisters.
I'm in love with you and your sister too. Dear God, tell me who I'm supposed to choose. Both them girls, I sure would be true to the two of you.
But it wrote itself.
Yes.
And it was catchy and funny and made people laugh.
Absolutely.
And it's funny that the people who request that song the most are the ones I was afraid I would offend. It's women.
No kidding.
Women love that song.
That is
it's so
funny.
Weird. And I thought, oh man, I can't play that because that'll, you know, these women might be turned off by that. But they'll come to me and go, "Can you play You and Your Sister?"
Wow.
And they laugh, and it's like, wow, okay.
I mean, it means that they get it, yeah.
But, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with that tune sometimes, like in family joints where there's, like, a lot of kids around.
I can understand.
You know, I'll avoid that song in certain situations. You know, you won't play that in church, you know?
Really? Okay.
But yeah, in a bar, in a honky-tonk somewhere at 12 a.m., yeah, it's fair game.
Find this album to be a quite a fun journey through all these different styles. And, you know, some of the songs are tongue-in-cheek and some are a little more serious. But you wrote all these songs on here, right?
Yes.
Co-writes on this, I believe. Is that true?
That's true. I pride myself in being a writer, first and foremost.
That's impressive,
My voice is not what it once was. It still works. I can still get away with it. And I'm not the greatest guitar player, but I think I do pretty well. The songwriting is where I think I shine the most, so that's what I put on display, you know.
Well, it's quite a display on the record, Undiscovered Country. And like we've already been talking about here, man, I really appreciate your wit, all these entertaining cuts on here. Another one is Drinking, Cheating. I'm adding the G on there. It's Drinking, Cheating, Cussing, and Fighting. This is a good country song. You can't have the G on the end of the words. You got to have an apostrophe.
Right. 'Cause I'm drinking, cheating, cussing, and fighting all night. Baby, where I'm from, that's high stuff. If you want to get it done right, I'll be drinking, cheating, cussing, and fighting all night.
If you liked that song I just played back there, you might want to check out this record, which is called Undiscovered Country. The title is so versatile. It's, of course, a Star Trek film subtitle for geeks out there already picked up on this.
Yeah.
But it really is pretty applicable to your own music, right? Because it's kind of like... This is a style of country that is virtually undiscovered these days because most people aren't making it this way anymore, right?
And I'm also a relatively undiscovered artist. And yeah, I was trying to make a genre, you know, or make songs that don't perfectly neatly fit into a box. You know, you might say that this sound is a little more distinct than what you're used to. But it's also a Shakespearean reference, and that's actually...
Oh, right.
You know, that's the one I was really going for, and it always comes back to Star Trek.
I know.
The Star Trek reference is actually referencing Shakespeare. And it's just a happy, funny accident that, You know, most people remember that phrase from Star Trek.
That's the sad truth about our society, is that it's more memorable for maybe one of the less memorable Star Trek films, too, ironically.
Do you also have a Romeo and Juliet air conditioning company in your town? That's what I thought that was about. Yeah. He's the best.
I'm sitting in studio right now with Jeff Warren Johnston and Ben Ballmer. While I have you guys here, I was hoping that maybe I could get you to talk a little bit about public radio. We were discussing here before we went on the air about how we are a listener-supported station here. We're an NPR affiliate. We don't air ads and commercials, which means that listeners have to directly support this station. So, you know, we don't have exactly what's going on in Austin with a powerhouse, you know, public station there who's, I mean, an entire station dedicated to music. But we're doing the best we can here in Northeast Texas. So do you have any kind of thoughts or maybe a testimonial, as it were, about public radio and why listeners should back what we do?
To me, it's obvious. You know, music's part of our cultural heritage and tradition, and it's definitely worth preserving and definitely worth supporting and perpetuating to ensure that it can continue and continue to be appreciated and to evolve and to allow new artists to come and make a living and express themselves and for that to be accessible to the population in general. Music is a cornerstone of our culture. It's something that is, I think, is extremely important to keep going and to keep fostering. So you're doing your part by supporting a public radio station because you allow guys like me to come in and show you what we've got when we haven't really, you know, we don't have these backing of some large corporate label or something behind us. You're going to hear things you wouldn't otherwise probably be exposed to otherwise. So I think that's extremely important.
Yeah, I all I listen to is public radio, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not just saying it. But you know, people asked Louis Armstrong one time, you know, what he thought about the upcoming folk scene was, and he was like, the folk music, and he was like, well, what's folk music, man? I thought it's all folk music because it's, you know, I've never heard a horse play the guitar, you know, and I feel like that's what it is about public radio. You know, these are folks doing folk stuff, talking to other folks and letting people know about what's going on, because you know, I never seen a horse have a radio show.
Well, there was one, but got canceled after like a year.
He was the mayor of the town too, right?
Yes, he was, but we don't have time to get into it.
The wells run dry, I suppose. I'm searching in vain for a change of clothes. Slap my face and change my taste. We all know how that story goes. I wonder if I'll ever learn. Maybe I'll just crash and burn. You're a hopeless case with an angel face. I can't walk away and my back won't turn. 'Cause I love you to pieces. I don't care what people say. You can take me, you can leave me. I still love you either way. You can break my heart a thousand times. You can run away or stay. But I still love you to pieces either way.
If you believe in what we do as a listener, maybe you're somebody who tunes in here every day and likes to see what we got going on Notably Tex. And if you haven't yet, please support this station today by clicking donate at ketr.org. Don't assume that everybody else is doing it for you, because most listeners are not, okay? So that's what makes your gift so much more important. ketr.org. Click donate and keep this avenue open to discover people like Jeff Warren Johnston and his Undiscovered Country record. Where can people find that record and keep up with you online?
Well, it's on iTunes, Apple Music, CD Baby, which you can access through my website, jeffwarrenjohnston.com. I got the singles on Spotify. You can listen to That Woman and El Toro there now for free.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, this is the standard internet outlets.
Cool.
Where you can buy the album.
And when you're looking into him, obviously, you know, we've stressed it as much as we can, but make sure you note the Johnston. Sometimes people want to do Johnson, I'm sure. So make sure you're doing Johnston, Johnston.
Correct.
Jeff Warren Johnston. And don't get him confused, as we were talking about earlier, with some other guy with a similar name, Jeff Johnston. Now, not this guy.
There's also a famous jazz guy in Canada named Jeff Johnston. He's got the Jeff Johnston Trio. I went to Guitar Center once. They had 72 Jeff Johnstons in their database.
Are you serious?
And I think that was just in Texas.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, who knew, man?
All buying instruments, man.
Everyone's a musician now.
Something about that name, I guess. Well, this has been a treat. And by the way, Ben Balmer, like I said, you've got some solo stuff going on too. Where can we keep up with you?
BenBalmer.com.
Simple enough.
Cool, BenBalmer.com.
Guys, I sincerely appreciate it, and let's make this a regular stop, if you would.
I would love to
have you
come
back
up here as much as you want.
When you're in Dallas or just in the area, let me know, or just show up, man. Either way, just come knocking.
Yeah.
I had a fun time meeting you guys, and that was a lot of fun. So thanks again to Jeff Warren Johnston and Ben Balmer.
Thank you so much.
Don't dwell on those hard times.